who's come to share her experience, strength and hope. Thank you.
My name is Ruth and I'm an addict.
Hi.
I was thinking today about how, whenever I'm asked to share, I always start by saying what a privilege it is to be able to sit here and to be asked to share. And it feels like a special privilege tonight to share on my home group's second anniversary meeting. And I thought to myself, what do I actually mean by that it's a privilege to be asked to share? And there's many levels to it. For one thing, it's a privilege today to be able to sit here and do this, to be able to just actually to physically sit here in front of a room full of people and speak what I know about recovery. That's a real privilege because... it wasn't always like that. There was a time when I couldn't look people in the eye. When going to pick my daughter up from school was a nightmare. And just these kind of ordinary things that I couldn't do in my everyday life. And it's a privilege today that I don't have these problems. I don't constantly feel uncomfortable in my own skin. I feel like a person who has something to give today. That's a wonderful thing. It's also a privilege. It's a privilege to be asked by my home group, to be asked to come here and do a job and to be trusted and given that responsibility to do that job properly. That too is a wonderful thing because, again, there was a time when people wouldn't trust me to do anything. I could not be relied upon. I would give my word left, right and centre, but I would never follow that through. I wasn't able to. With all the best intentions in the world, usually, I just wasn't able to do that. And it's a privilege because, what I know and what I've read about the beginnings of the 12-step programme, I feel very lucky that we have a meeting here. And I feel very lucky that I'm part of such a strong home group that shares a good message of recovery. As I say, my life hasn't always been like this. I started off like a lot of people using drugs as a teenager. I didn't feel comfortable with who I was, and drugs came along and they seemed to offer some relief from that. I'm not going to pretend that taking drugs wasn't fun for a while. I had some really good times, but it didn't stay that way. It went on for many years, and it just got worse and worse. Eventually drugs were using me. I wasn't using drugs, and they were controlling everything that I did. This got to be a problem. It was a mental obsession. Constantly, I would be thinking about drugs. I would be thinking about where the next lot of drugs were going to come from, and all of these things. And I would also be constantly thinking about the fact that I didn't want to be doing this. I knew. I suppose it wasn't until I got onto drugs that I became physically addicted to. That was when I began to get an idea that I might have a problem. What I know now, looking back, is that drugs were always a problem. And even before drugs, I had a problem. But I didn't understand that. And so it was within my using. It was only when I became physically addicted that I began to think, this is not good. But I could not stop. Every day I would think to myself, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. And yet I would just go through the same thing every single day and I would carry on and on. There was just nothing I could do about it. Several times I got to a place where I'd had enough, and several times I tried to put down the drugs, but I didn't find something that would take the place of the drugs. I didn't find a solution. Or perhaps I wasn't completely ready to hear it, I went to NA meetings several years ago and I didn't hear a message, I would maybe stay clean for a little while, but I would be straight back out there as soon as things didn't go my way. Drugs were my solution and I would go back to that. But eventually, you know, I reached a point where I really could not take any more. My life actually was it had been worse in a physical sense. It had been worse. You know, I had a home, just about. You know, I was working, just about. You know, there were these things in my life, so that from the outside, it looked reasonably okay. But inside, I was just falling apart. I could not go on any longer. And for me, step one was actually, it came after I'd put the drugs down yet again. And I looked around me and I realised that I hadn't changed, that I was carrying on doing exactly the same things that I'd always done. And I just couldn't bear it anymore. I couldn't carry on like that. So finally I was serious, and finally I was ready to listen, and I was ready to hear someone else's ideas, you know, rather than all my life I'd relied on myself and on my own ideas, and it had got me nowhere. And I came to this meeting. I came here because I knew people here. I knew people that, you know, were living a productive life and that had recovered, and I wanted some of that. I came here and I got myself a sponsor, and I applied myself to work in these steps. And, you know, it was very simple. It was simple because it was laid out in front of me. It was shown to me by example. You know, nobody was saying I have to do this and I have to do that. You know, people gave me suggestions, and, you know, my sponsor took me through the steps, and I was shown by example that I could have a different life. And that's what I did. You know, I worked through the steps and I applied myself to it, and I have a very different life today. And, you know, I would urge anybody who wants this different way of life, get yourself a sponsor, work through the steps, and you too can recover. Thank you. I'll leave it there.
Thank you. I will now hand you over to Zina.
I'm Zina, I'm an addict. I'm very nervous, I'm new to sharing. And I'll start with, I don't like sitting here. You know, I'm sitting here to share my experience and hope towards the newcomer. You know, I have a group like this in London, and I've flirted with these groups for quite a while. I'll start with, you know, I've been 11 years in recovery. I've got 6.5 years clean, and I'm a year with a program, and that's quite significant to me. You know, in my using, I felt really uncomfortable with myself, restless, discontent, just wanted to peel my skin. I hated being me. You know, I always felt different, and always a loner and always on my own. And this went on for many years. And like Ruth said, I found drugs, and that seemed to make me feel better. You know, escaping from my feelings, reality. And like I said, I came to recovery 11 years ago, and for 4.5 years I was in and out the programme. I didn't have a sponsor. I wasn't working the steps. And consequences of that, I was in and out of the fellowship. I also been in fellowship 6.5 years, clean, but I still didn't have a programme. I'd done steps 1, 2, I got myself a sponsor, and I'd done steps 1, 2 and 3. I put myself into college, went to uni, and I put that first. And, you know, I stayed clean through it, but I wouldn't suggest that to anybody, you know, knowing what I know now, with getting myself a sponsor and working a programme, I would definitely choose that way. And I have chose that way. Yeah, there's, you know, if there is any, you know, newcomers, there is a solution at this meeting, and it's about putting the action in. I didn't get anywhere but not put an action in. You know, I'd half-heartedly get down on my knees and do a gratitude list in my head. I'd pray in my head. You know, I needed the whole package. I needed discipline. I've never had discipline. You know, my other sponsors, whether I was ready to hear it or not, you know, I found my sponsor every day. I didn't have that with my other sponsors. I needed discipline. You know, and like I said, I've been flirting with these groups for a little while. And, you know, the message here is so crystal clear. And, you know, I need that. It keeps me on the right path, doing what I need to do. You know, and I have God in my life, which, you know, for me is a real strong ingredient of this package of the programme. And thinking of others and helping other people, giving what I've freely been given and passing it on, so hopefully they can pass it on down the line. You know, God and thinking of others is quite relevant in my life right now. And you know, I lost my dad 2 months ago, and I was struggling for, you know, for about 2 weeks, really struggling. I just felt like I'd gone back to day one of when I came into recovery. And it wasn't until my sponsor reeled me in and said, you need to, you know, be thinking of other people. And I said, well, I am thinking of other people, I'm doing my suggestion, and he said, you need to step it up. And I stepped it up, and I can't believe how I've changed. You know, I've got my perception and attitude, you know, from my step four has just changed completely round. You know, I'm grateful to actually be sat here and sharing, although I don't like it. It's not very nice. But, yeah, so if there's any newcomers, you know, there's a solution in this room, and you can walk away and not use it again. And I'll just leave it there.
Thank you. I'll now hand you over to Pete.
I'm Pete, I'm an addict. First things first.
First of all, welcome to any newcomers. And as much as, you know, I the idea of sharing to my sponsor and my home group members goes through my head, the message that I've got is for the newcomer. You know, today, it's been a good day. I haven't hurt anybody, I didn't wake up obsessing over drugs, and I've not begged, stole or borrowed. That's a good day, you know, from where I've came from. It's a far cry from the life that I've lived. And you know, if you're a newcomer in the room and you identify with these things that I've just spoke about, I identify back, if that makes any sense. You know, there's a solution if you want it. There really is. And I'll explain a bit about myself, really. You know, Zina spoke about a few traits that she had growing up, and I identify with them. I never... this is all with the gift of hindsight. I never felt like I fitted in anywhere. I really didn't, and that's just not an NA cliche. That's the reality. I lived in the bubble that my fear kept me in. I found it quite hard to interact with people. I plodded on. Life wasn't all kind of big downer. You know, I had good moments, but there was something that wasn't right. Just something, and I always had this need to kind of make myself feel better. I really did. Again, with hindsight, I can say that. And cutting that story short, really, when drugs came along, you know, I took them. I really did. And they have great potential, you know. And like someone said, it's great times. I had some great times using drugs, really did. They still stand as the best, second best solution that I've ever had in my life. They sorted me out for my nature. They were just brilliant. but the fun ran out. It doesn't really matter how many years it took for me to for it to bring me to my knees, but the fun ran out, and things, they didn't. I wanted out. I wanted out from this life that I'd once chose. I needed to get out of it, and I couldn't. You know, obviously I'm cutting this down a lot, but I soon realised that I couldn't get out of it. And these are the things that define me as an addict. When I say I'm an addict, this is what I mean. I could not put drugs down. I could not do it. Though I had moments, I will rephrase that. I did. I never found it easy. I never found it hard to have 2 week stints away from drugs. And that was pretty easy. I could do that. But the pattern was, I would always go back. I would always go back. I could not leave them alone. I just couldn't do it. And I went off to one of these famous institutions, infamous institutions, and got myself some clean time. That's what I did. And when I eventually came out, I thought, see, I wasn't one of these people that went to an institution, comes out and tries 10 different sponsors. I wasn't. I actually came out of an institution and thought, that's it, I'm fine. You know, I didn't even think of NA. I decided to go about things my own way, and thought that I was fixed. Thought that I wouldn't need any of this. But surely enough, it came through. My nature came back, and I found myself, like I spoke about when I was the traits that I had when I was younger. I just wanted to feel better. I wanted to feel better. I was miserable. It wasn't. I was not like normal people, you know. I had normal things around me, but I wasn't. I was unhappy. I was miserable. Life was dull without drugs. It just was. There was a big grey cloud that was following me everywhere, and I just couldn't. It just wasn't realistic, you know. It was either do something about it or use drugs. You know, it really was. Somebody said it earlier. I think it was Ruth. Either one of the two. That. I need a replacement in my life. That's what I needed. I found it by working the steps and getting a sponsor. Obviously, and a sponsor is somebody that has this experience of working through the steps and that can show me. And I heard somebody in a meeting they shared their message, and I just had something. You know, I've been one of these people that's always sat in meetings and just plotted your downfall. I really have. That's what I'm about. I'll judge you. I'm sitting judging. I'm not listening. I'm not. I'll just pick up on the differences and I'll hate you. You know, basically. But I heard a man that had something to say. I liked what he had. He didn't have this tragic. How can I put this tragic NA broken washing machine character about him? He didn't. He had something, and I asked him. And luckily enough, I was in a position where I'd had enough of myself. I'd had enough, and it all fitted together. And I hope that makes sense the way I've just put that. And I asked him to sponsor me, and it's just been it's been brilliant. You know, life is brilliant. I couldn't ask for anything more. And like I said at the start, the fact that I wake up and I don't think about drugs, I don't go to bed and think about whether I've got enough for the morning or what I have to do, that's not in my life today. It's very different. Life still has its ups and downs. That doesn't mean just because I don't obsess over drugs that life doesn't throw certain things at me that can get in the way, but I have the tools that I need through this program to deal with it. You know, through sponsorship and helping others, of course. And when I say this message is for the newcomer. Without this sounding too selfish, it's just because I benefit from this. You know, this is what I do today, and I'm happy. I didn't have to be dragged here today I didn't, you know, my friends from my home group didn't have to come and grab me by the hair to get me to this meeting tonight. They didn't. This was an excitement, and yeah, to be able to look at all of you in the eye, that action alone, it says a lot from the person that I used to be that just couldn't lift their head up, you know. You know, I would walk 2 mile out of the way because I could not get on the bus. I could not get on the bus and the double-decker buses and have people look at me. I could not do this. And this was the type of person I was. And it's just very different today. And the solution's in the room, if you want it. It really is. And I will leave it there on that note. One other thing. Like I said, the solution's on offer, and I hope. I hope that what I've said, people can identify, be part of it, or be attracted to it. I wouldn't swap what I've got with anything. I'm quite happy with who I am today. Again, for somebody that always wanted what you had or didn't like this about myself, it's so different. And I truly believe with a passion that it's because of the 12 steps and what comes with that and sponsorship. Thank you very much.
I will now hand you over to Leanne.
Hello, I'm Leanne. I'm an addict. Hi. Do you know, it really is a great privilege to be asked to share here at Interaction's second anniversary. It was from this meeting that I took my sponsorship, that I asked for sponsorship, took sponsorship, and worked towards my recovery. And I can honestly say it's been the best thing that I've ever done. You know, it's turned my life around. You know, I'm definitely no longer the person I was when I walked in the door. That's for sure. And it's given me a lot more than I actually thought I might get out of it. You know, I just wanted my head to stop, that's all I wanted, you know. And I received a hell of a lot more than that, you know. When I found drugs, you know, for me it was, I loved it. I loved the feeling it gave me. I just thought, this is it, you know. I'm going to be able to use drugs for the rest of my life and always feel like this. And I really truly believe that, you know. I just gave me everything, you know, and I enjoyed it for quite some time, but I didn't actually see or realise the damage I was doing at that time. I felt like I was indestructible, and, you know, I never took anybody's feelings or thoughts into consideration. I destroyed everything in my path, you know, and I couldn't see what I was doing. I couldn't see that I was doing any of this, and as time went on, and I found that the drugs no longer worked for me, you know. And I started to ask myself, what's wrong with me? And I started to truly believe there was other things wrong with me, you know. That, you know, I'd use the drugs and they just wouldn't work. And I would think, well, you know, oh, I don't know, you know, what is that? I'd go to doctors, I'd go to psychiatrists. I basically burnt out all the resources I was looking for help, you know. And it came to the final, you know, final time for me was when I just felt like I was in a big black cloud. There was a big black cloud over me all the time. You know, that's how I felt. And when I did actually put the drugs down, I believed that, you know, I'm going to be okay. You know, I wasn't. You know, I wasn't okay. And I struggled. I really, really struggled with life. I couldn't deal with life at all. I couldn't deal with the simplest of tasks, going shopping, you know, having to make a decision. You know, I mean, I'll give you a little example. I go shopping and I fill up my shopping trolley, and I get to the bread aisle, and I'd be faced with 100 loaves of bread, and I couldn't make a decision. So what I'd do is I'd leave the trolley in the middle of the aisle and bag it off. You know, that would be. I just wouldn't. You know, I couldn't do the simplest of things, and I couldn't deal with my child, my relationships, nothing. You know, I really, truly thought there's something else wrong with me. And I went down the aisle of the psychiatrist, doctors, the medication. Nothing worked. And it got to a point where I felt that suicide really did seem like an option. You know, I just wanted out. You know, I really, truly wanted out. I'd wake up in the morning going, oh, God, you know what I mean? I woke up again. And I even spent, at some times, I spent 17 hours, right, in my bed, you know, 17, 18 hours. And it got to the point where I couldn't even sleep, you know. I'd be like trying to sleep and then I'd be dreaming and then I'd be have that, this horrendous times through my sleep patterns were all to hell. I just wanted to die, simple as, you know. And it was shortly after that that I heard my sponsors share. And funny enough, it wasn't at this meeting, it was at another meeting. And I made the effort to come down to Plymouth, you know, to because I was so desperate to find something. And I heard my sponsors share. And the week after that, I came to this meeting, and the same guy was sitting in the room, you know. And I went up to him, and I asked him for sponsorship. And it's the best thing I ever did. It was wonderful to come into a meeting also and listen to everybody sharing, you know, with conviction and all sharing that there was a solution. Because I truthfully didn't know there was a solution. I didn't know there was a way out. I really did not. And I found it, and I found it here. I found it in this room, you know. And I could really, really listen. And I became willing, you know, to be sponsored. You know, I allowed myself to be sponsored. I was willing. I mean, what else could I do? Where else could I go? You know, this was it. This was the final straw. And today, it's an absolute privilege, and it's, you know, sponsorship, steps, and recovery, and that's it. And service for me today is a pleasure to do. You know, I never thought I'd ever say it because, you know, I never think about anybody but for myself. Who the hell was I going to ask? Oh, are you all right? I didn't care if you were all right or not, as long as I was all right. You know, and today, you know, it's not like that. I've got my family back in my life. I've got my children, you know. I have good friends in my life today. You know, I have this programme which I put first in my life today. And, you know, I'd be a service whenever possible. Through working this programme, I've also got in touch with a higher power, you know, and that's wonderful because I can tap in at any time to to a higher power. And, you know, I really do feel peace of mind today. It is a good way of life. Of course, you know, there are the... of course, life goes on. There's going to be things in life, you know, that come and hit us sideways. The thing is, I don't believe that there's nothing you can't get through the use of this programme today, you know. And I'd like to leave it there, but thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. And now I'll hand you over to Chris.
Thanks. My name's Chris. I'm an addict. It's good to be on. You know, I've done a lot of stuff since I first spoke about. You know, about 2.5 years ago, I'm in an institution, and this letter comes under my door, and a big footprint on it. And I open it up, and it's from my mum. And she says, "I love you, but I don't like you. Don't ever show your face around you again." And I was experiencing myself at that time, with any drugs in me, and it was truly horrendous. 3 days after that, the vicar opened my door and he said, "Congratulations, you're a dad." And I thought, you know what, he'd be better off without me. That's how I was thinking. And I made a decision that I wasn't going to use. I desired to stop using. And I walked out of that prison and I picked up in about 15 minutes. And I didn't know why, because I was in so much pain. And I just didn't know why. You know, a couple of months down the line, I ended up in a treatment centre. And I go to this treatment centre. And, you know, I asked SNA, and they weren't too happy about it, to be quite honest with you. You know, it wasn't one of those 12-step treatment centres. No, they told me I had to have find some willpower. And as I was walking out the door, they said to me, "Get yourself a girlfriend, get yourself a good job, and if you don't, then you'll be better." 8 months later, without a drug in my body, I wanted to kill myself. And I was experiencing myself again. And I didn't understand what was wrong with me. And I've been going to LA, and I was desperate, and I asked some guy to sponsor me, and he said, "You know, faith in yourself." What a fucking joke. You know, faith in myself. I just know. And I kept going to these meetings, and, you know, I go into a meeting, and I go outside as soon as the sheriff finished, and I have a fag, and I thought the meeting was out there. I didn't know where the power was. I didn't have a clue. Nobody got in my face. 8 months later, I'm clean without a drug in my body for the first time in a long time. I'm sitting in my home and I'm looking out the window thinking, I'll be better off dead. And I was thinking, this ain't right. And I did, I cried out to a God that I didn't understand and asked for help. And I went to a meeting that night, the usual meeting that I usually went to, which I was doing service. And my service was this sort of service. I'd go in, drop the tea bags on the side, drop the milk, and I'd be off. And that's what a full service was. And I was sitting there, listening to people, talking about their miserable lives, talking about their days. And I was dying. I was dying. I needed to find some relief. And I was going to use. You know, I'm not going to say that I choose to use. I know that I'm powerless. And I had that desire. So what I know today is me having the desire. I don't really mean much because I've done this lots and lots of times before. I cannot rely on my desire not to use. I cannot rely on it. And that's the fact. Because time and time again, as I've looked at my inventories and stuff like that, I've seen my desire. It's been there. And you know, three guys watching that meeting that night, and I heard this message that I've heard in this meeting here tonight, and I didn't like it. It made me feel quite uncomfortable. These guys seemed really happy, and I was feeling miserable, and I was desperate, you know. And they shared, if you're in this room tonight and you need a solution in your life, you can get one. And I heard it. I heard it. I didn't know then, but I do know today. And I went up to one of these guys and I thought to myself, I'm going to see how happy you are after sponsoring me. That's the way, that's the way my thinking was. And you know, I walked up to this guy and I said, will you be my sponsor? And he said, I'll be honoured and privileged. And it lit me up. You know what, I felt a little bit of hope straight away. And being a real addict, you know, I need a solution. Because, you know, nothing will treat my illness apart from 12 steps. I've got a threefold illness. And the obsession will go from time to time, depending on the institution. I mean, or where I'm at, in what relationship it will go. But the malady is progressive. It doesn't stop. And it's relentless. And it comes on me. And the obsession was on me this time, 8 months later. And, you know, I tell my sponsor all about my life, and he told me to shut up. He said, I'm not interested. I thought it was a bit cruel of him. You know, and he gave me this piece of paper, and he said, you know what, Chris? He said, you can recover from this illness. He said, I can assure you that your life will change. And that's my experience. You know, he gave me these suggestions, and like I said, I'm a real addict. And he said, I need you to pray on your knees. And I don't believe in him. He said, I didn't know. So, you know, he needs to listen. And that was something that I was really hard at doing. He said, you need to write a gratitude list. And I said, why do I have to write a gratitude list? And he said, because you're an ungrateful fella. And he said, why are you out of comfort zone when it comes? And that's my experience, you know. And he didn't say to me, phone me in 2 weeks' time, we'll have a chat. He said, phone me tomorrow. And that was really good. I was really impressed with that. You know, if somebody really wanted to talk to me, or really me, or give me a dog, whatever. You know, someone was going to be there. They was going to show me the way. And I got hope that night. And, me and this guy, I got on our knees together and done a step three prayer. And I experienced something then. You know, and he gave me my step four straight away. And he told me, don't hang around. He said, we need you in this program. And that made me feel good. For the first time I started to feel part of this fellowship, because I had felt part of it. I felt like a part of a gang. in a fellowship, and I knew that wasn't a deal either, you know. And you know, I went through a step four. You know, I threw this in front of my mum, through myself, not my mum, and my dad, and my brothers. I done the inventory, and I remember sharing my step five with my sponsor, being quite nervous, and getting some identification on him. I remember walking out of his house in Camden Town, pissing down with rain, weather like this, and I just knew I was never ever going to use again. Yeah, you know, it was my experience, I won't go into it. I just knew that I was never ever, ever going to have to use again, provided I've done this stuff. So, you know, my life is great. You know, I spend a lot of time with my family. You know, I don't question, I don't ask them for anything. I'm not self-useful. I see my son regular. You know, I see my son regular. This beautiful little bundle of joy that I give up on before I'd even seen him. Selfish and self-centeredness is the core of my illness, and I've got a solution for that as well. You know, I never knew that my solution was me taking a step back and putting somebody else first. I never knew that. Nobody ever said to me, you know what, Chris, take a step back and help somebody else. I never knew that was my solution, and I don't just do it now. I've done it on my face. You know, I've got a fantastic, free life. You know, I'm very, very rich. You know, not the money. I'm a rich man, I can assure you. I've mined into something that, you know, you've got experience if you do the work. And you'll know what I'm talking about. That's a good speech, mate. Thank you.
And now I'll hand you over to Andy.
Thanks, Lee. My name's Andy and I'm an addict. And can I also say I've recovered.
I did it the same way as everyone else. You know, I mean, I've got to say this. You know, 2 years ago, seven addicts got together and decided to start this meeting. You know, for the first time, I actually experienced the true unity of what this fellowship has to offer. And you know, 2 years down the line, I can come in here and I can say, welcome to the Interaction Group in London. Welcome to the Interaction Group in Torquay. I'm sitting and I'm in awe. You know, I feel the presence of a loving higher power, you know, in this room tonight. You know, because that's what got me to how I recovered. Finding a loving higher power. How did I do it? How did I find this power? I had to work through that 12-step program. It introduced me to the concept of a higher power, you know, something that would relieve me. You know, it could do what no human power could do for me. And I mean, as Chris said, I remember my brother for years and years and years. You know, he'd see me fall on my ass yet again. I had so many rock bottoms. I came in here and my bum was like a cauliflower. Honest to God, I'd see, tough crowd. No, yeah. Every time I'd be on my ass, my brother would look around to me and he'd say, "The biggest problem, boy, is you've got no willpower." Never heard him. And yet I walked into this fellowship weighing 9 stone 3. I looked about 90. I was 34 years old at the mental and emotional age of a 13-year-old. I was done for. And you know, basically, I was told that no human will and no human power could relieve me of this illness. You know, and I sat in a meeting. When I first got into this meeting, you know, I sat around and I looked and I thought, God, you know, I'm in an advert for Churchill because everyone's doing this. And it was foreign to me. It went against the grain. It went against my nature because my nature is I'm totally self-obsessed, self-centered to the core. You know, I'm selfish, I'm arrogant, I'm intolerant, all these things. But for the first time, I think, in my life, like everyone said, I'd been in and out of institutions, you know, many, many times in my lifetime. I'd sought out through doctors, psychiatrists, you know, I'd done all the same things, you know, I'd done healing runestones, you know, with my wife and stuff, but none of it seemed to work for me. And yet, I was sat in a meeting with as I used to call us, back in the day, a bunch of junkies, you know, all sharing the same thing, all sharing the same solution, telling me the message on how they had recovered. You know, not one of them was there telling me what I had to do. Not one of them was pointing a finger and saying, yeah, you got to do this, you got to do that.
all these people were sat around telling me what they had done in order to recover. And, you know, I identified with the past, absolutely, because I was an addict, you know. Didn't quite understand what they had in their lives today, you know, but the fact that I saw a whole group of people doing this very same thing, that gave me hope. I thought, wow, you know, and they told me, if you can identify with us and you identify yourself as an addict of our description, you know, this is work for us, you know, maybe it could work for you. No, they didn't say maybe, they said it's a guarantee that this could work for you too, you know, and that's a bold statement from an addict. I'll guarantee you recovery as long as you're willing to put the footwork in. And I've got to say, I was too frightened not to take it on board, you know. I knew my life was going nowhere, because as I said, I had yet again come out of another institution that was full of bravado. You know, I was a jack the lad, big smile, happy lad. And our girls loved it. Shit in my pants inside. And like I said, these people spoke my language. It was uncanny, really, because I thought somebody had come in and told them about me. But, you know, I thought it was my mate. Yeah, you told me my life story, so they're all coming. I was wrong. You know, these guys were all very, very similar to me. We'd all done very similar things. So I took this sponsor on board. Didn't know what one was when I came in. But the one thing I did do is I allowed this man to sponsor me. You know, I knew that my thinking got me into all these drugs. So many people told me, you know, you're going to come and slip away if you carry anything in that way. And I did it every time. And for the first time in my life, I let somebody else do my thinking for me. You know, I was prepared to do as this man has. You know, and that very same night, I've got to say, that very same night, there was a level of hope in my life that I'd never felt before. There was a level of fitting in that I'd never felt before, and I just followed this man's direction, you know, and he told me to get on my knees, which was, I was okay with that. Yeah, I was okay. I'm not going to say I wasn't. I'm not a religious man, never have been, probably never will be, but I got on my knees. It was explained to me that this is a program of action, you know. I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, you know, but I'm a practical guy. I like to keep things simple, and my sponsor said this was a simple program. He told me these things I had to do on a daily basis, and I did them. And within days, I felt happier than I had done for 22 years. You know, I thought, this is all right. And I've gone to my sponsor, I said, I'm feeling really, really good. And he said, good, carry on. So I did, and they took me through the steps. I got to my step four, like Chris said, and I was reading my step four and my step five to my sponsor. And it was a January morning, and the sun was shining, it was beautiful. I was reading the letter, got to the very last page, and started to shake. I said, this is a spiritual awakening. He said, no, it's pissing freezing, let's get in the car. But something came over me really quickly. When I took my step three, that was I think, one of my first ever awakening of the spirit. It was one of those times when I suddenly felt, I'm not carrying the weight of the world on my shoulder anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm an addict. I've got to carry the world on my shoulders. Got to. I've got to sort everyone else's problems out. I've got to tell you what you were doing wrong. Never look at myself. Never be able to deal with my own problems. So bang, step three. You know, away it gone. It allowed me to carry on and crack on with this program. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey. You know, I've been in this fellowship. I'm about to enter my 10th year. The last 2 years of my life have been so fulfilled. It's unbelievable. This program is on offer to anyone who wants it. You know, I'm a man who sits down and says, those were the days. No, I'm a man that sits down and says, I have two kinds of day in recovery, great days and brilliant days. You know, I'm an addict that stuck needles in his body for, you know, the best part of 22 years. I'm a man that was dying when he came in. I'm a man that goes to bed at the end of the night and puts his head on his pillow without abusing people, like Pete said, without ripping people off, without being dishonest, you know, without doing all these things that I did when I was actively using. That's a great day for an addict with my type. I've got so many bonuses in my life today. You know, these are all brilliant. You know, so I can only have great days and brilliant days in recovery. You know, that's an addict of my type.
my sponsor has always guided me towards the literature, you know, and I didn't realise how valuable the literature was when I first came around. I just thought, well, you know, if I stay away from drugs, it'd be cool, you know, get myself a little girlfriend, it'd be even cooler, job, fantastic, get a car. He encouraged me to read this text. He encouraged me to read that on a daily basis, to study that text. And, you know, I'm a little way down the line and my life wouldn't be the same without it. You know, I became informed. I became informed what this fellowship's about, what my job in the fellowship's about. And my job isn't to share and make people laugh. Obviously I don't, but it's not my job to make people laugh or do anything other than share this message to the newcomer that walks through the door. You know, and I try my hardest and my best to do that every single time I share. You know, I recovered as a direct result of getting myself a sponsor, somebody who had experience, somebody who spoke with a conviction, a certainty that I could recover if I followed this way of life. And I took guidance, followed his advice, and, you know, I recovered. And I recovered within a few months, you know, and that state of mind that I walked in with, that, you know, that thinking that precedes picking up the first drug, that insane thinking, it's never returned in my life. And, you know, life is life, but this program allows me to deal with every aspect of my life in a positive way. And if you want it, it's here, come and grab it, and I'll leave it there. And once again, welcome to everybody that's come down to see us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.